Good morning, and there was a great light. It's good to see each of you. I invite you to stand as we share the call to worship. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Again, I say, rejoice.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable. Whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable,
or is
anything worthy of praise. Think about these things. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say rejoice.
Welcome and merry after Christmas. It's just so good to see all of you here, and hopefully you had just some either quiet, peaceful time and just time of contemplation, or a house full of family and friends, and so we have so much to look forward to over the holidays. So we're going to... Start with the Connect card. And we want to welcome our guests. So any guests that are with us this morning, let you know that we welcome you warmly and out of the foyer in the garden room. We have a Welcome Center, and there is a gift packet for you and just information about our church. And inside that gift packet is a coffee from our latte stand. So we invite you to go and get your coffee from our latte stand and then join us in our fellowship and garden room for fellowship afterwards. In your bulletin today, you'll see your Connect card. If you would please fill that out. Guests, we ask you to do that too. And just let us know that you're here. And those of you that are part of our church family, we encourage you to fill this out. And then if you have any special praises to thank our God for, you'll often see that scrolled up on the board as we're doing our offertory. Excuse me. And then if you have a prayer request, we are a praying church, and we want to pray for you. So be sure to jot that down, because we want God, we want lots of prayers going up for whatever your needs are. And God is listening. He's just waiting for us to come before him. Okay, so fill out the Connect card, and then you'll have a chance to put that into the offering plate later on. Announcements. I think announcements. Anyway, church is closed on the 1st of January, the 30th of December, 1st of January, just a reminder of that. Then the men's prayer gathering, it has been meeting, on, I believe, on Tuesdays, and it's going to start this on January 8th, meeting on Wednesdays. So don't forget that. Also, want to remind you, for those of you that are not part of a New Life group, that we will be forming New Life groups in January. So if you want to contact the office and let them know, or you can also indicate on your Connect card on the back if you would like to be involved in a New Life group. So I am holding this up. You should find that in your bulletin. It's our old-time family dinner that's coming up. We kind of, you know, Presbyterians, it's kind of about food and fellowship. And we've sort of missed our Wednesday food times together. And so starting in January, we will be having our first old-time family dinner. And that's January 8th, 5:30 to 7 in the gym. They ask you to please respond. So you can fill out the card and respond. And then they're asking for people to bring a salad, a side dish, or dessert. So if you'd fill that out, and that can go in the offering plate also. So, following our service today, we will be honoring our John Stolzenbach and Sue in thanking them both for their service to our church, and for John, who has been a lay pastor here for many years. I think he came and thought he was just going to sit quietly in our church and be a parishioner, and, you know, God just called him back. And so we have been blessed. And so following church today, in the garden room, we will be honoring both of them for their service to our church. They are not leaving us. He's just going to step back, we'll see, from leadership. I said to Sue, do you think that's possible? But anyway, so we will soon see. Okay, I think that's it. If you would all stand and meet and greet one another and welcome each other. Okay. Let's all join together in singing the hymn of thanksgiving for all the saints. Those that you want to use your hymnals, it's found on page 614. Don Lucas, Gloria Church, Marilyn Pearson. Kathy Glosson, Jim Whiteside, Carl Campbell. Virginia Campbell, Bill Church, Bonnie Coffey, Audrine Reitmeier. Ardell King, Larry Keeler, Howie Dempsey. Let us now come to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we ponder the gift of Christmas and the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you for a wonder that transforms our world, a miracle that makes all things new, and a gift beyond our explanation. We are thankful for the faithfulness of all those who trusted and believed that you are our one true God, who is faithful to his word. As we look back on this past year and ponder the promise of what is to come, we are thankful that you are always with us, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whether his course points us to the mountaintops of glorious ecstasy or to the valleys of human suffering, we are assured because he is by our side. He is ever present with us. Lord, I ask you to be with our leaders of our community, our state, and our nation. You are our rock and our strength. May they look to you and to your will in all things. We now come humbly before you at the foot of the cross on our knees as we lay down our sins before you. And thanks be to God, in Jesus' name, we are forgiven. Lord, we ask you to be with families who have recently lost a loved one, or who are sick and infirmed. We especially ask you to be with Craig Sundquist as he continues to heal from his back surgery, for the Dexter Hanks family, for the Scott Henyon family, and the Steve Shewe family. May they feel your presence with them and your peace that surpasses all understanding. Wrap your loving arms around them during this time. We thank you and praise you that you are with us in all things, at all times. We now join together as one family as we pray the Lord, the words Jesus gave us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So I just ask for you to now just pause for a moment, and in silence, as you may have lost a loved one not spoken this morning, let us just ponder the names of those people that we have lost.
I think I can make it. I think I've got my eyes on the top of the mountain. I've never done this before alone. I see it there. I'm almost there. Oh. I think I can make it. I made it. Wow. What a gorgeous sight. Oh, with that sun coming down, I'm just too hot. Whoa. Oh, I need to rest for a while. Wow. Climbing this mountain has been hard. Wow. Oh, let me rest a little. Now, this explains why we have all of the stuff. This is a mountain for those of you without any imagination. It's a mountain. As a kid, I would go to various mountains with my folks, and it was such a neat thing to be able to see. And as we can, when you're on a mountain on a clear day, you can see all around 360 degrees. You can look and look. Wow. You can see back where you've been, and you can see where you're headed. As we approach New Year's Eve, it's a good time to look back. I loved Karen's prayer, the way she prayed for us. But it's a good time to look back, but also to look ahead and to see what God is up to. And that in looking forward, not looking forward to this next year, but we're looking forward to whatever He has in store for us into our future. It's a time to anticipate. But by God's grace, as we work towards our heavenly home, because you see, we're not here permanently, are we? We're just passing through. As believers in Jesus, we know that this isn't our home. It isn't our home. My Bible is like a journal. I have underlines, I have dates in it, I have comments, and I was leafing through it recently, and I came across Psalm 102, 25 through 28, and I realized I had marked in the margin, this is good for New Year's Eve. Let me read these words to you. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you, Lord, are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you. You see, we can only see things from a finite, from a human perspective. But God sees things from an infinite or eternal perspective. We measure time in seconds, minutes, hours, weeks, years, decades, centuries. But God's time is not the same as our finite time. 2 Peter, we hear these words. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your constant presence with us. Thank you as we take this time to look back and to look forward. Would you be with us in our emotions and what we hear you saying to us? Thank you, Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, those of you that take notes and are on the blue sheets, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, and we're going to have that first fill in. So, there is a time to do this, to reminisce how God has been with me in the past. To reminisce how God has been with me in the past. As we look back over this latest installment called 2019, we see it through human eyes, but God sees it through His eyes. Not as something finished, but in process. We're all in process. It's a continuum of past, present, and future all at once. I love the way that Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 13:12. Remember, that's the love is patient, love is kind chapter, the love chapter. But verse 12, listen to these words. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. For some of you, this has been a very difficult year. Sickness, job insecurities, disappointments, mistakes at your own or mistakes of others that have affected you. And of course, there are losses. Those losses of friendship. There's been divorce. There are marriage difficulties. Jobs that have gone away. Health issues. A broken relationship. Or of course, a death of a loved one. I know that some of you that were hearing the name of your loved one today, that a letter was sent out so that you would be warned. We do this at our congregation in Columbus on All Saints Day. And there are people that travel miles just to hear that one name. And some people, it was interesting watching, because some people, they're just grinning when they hear the name. And others, tears are coming down. We all are affected differently. But today, as we remember at the end of the year, may God be with you as you heard those words and those names. And in all of this past year, some people, they can't even see the good. They can't see that there's good. They only see the bad, the ugly. They're so introspective that they don't see things from God's perspective. But we can't, can we? But that's where trust comes in. Some say, well, time heals all wounds. To that I say, no. It's not the time that does it, is it? It's not the time. Because I know some very bitter, bitter people who haven't spoken to a family member for decades over something, some hurt when they were in their youth. And they've carried that all of these years. Time has not affected that anger and those words. But you see, I understand that. I understand that because as a youth, there were things that happened to me. There were things that took place. I shared with some of you that in my mid-40s, I was such an angry man. Yes, I was a pastor already, but I was a very, very angry man. And I took it out on some that I loved. I was holding on to the past. But God, He met me right where I was. And I went into 2 years of counseling. But the first 3 weeks is when I was able to go to the Lord, ask forgiveness, and receive that forgiveness. But the biggest part was to let go. Let go of all of that. And so that's been many, many years ago for me. But that was a turning point. For some, their wound, their grief, their disappointment, their betrayal, it hasn't had a chance to even form a scab. And so when we go up and say, oh, we understand. No, we don't. We can't. From their perspective. So what do we do about this? First of all, we give them time. Give them space. Pray for them and ask them to take it to the Lord. None of this caught God off guard, did it? He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you, even though it feels like it. So I wanted to challenge us as we look back at this year, or even years if necessary. Look through a different set of lenses, through the eyes of the Good Shepherd, and hope. Hope that He, that God alone brings. Leslie Brandt is a Lutheran pastor, and back in the 1970s, he wrote a book called Psalms Now. And this is what he says in the preface. I've tried to express what these psalms say to me and about me. It is just possible that they may reveal to others something about themselves and give them a means of expressing their actual feelings in their conversations with God. And he goes on to say the way he writes these is maybe the way the psalmist would have written in our time, in our vernacular, in our words. So I'd like to read to you, it'll be up on the screen, Psalm 23 from Psalms Now. The Lord is my constant companion. There is no need that he cannot fulfill, whether his course for me points to the mountaintops of glorious ecstasy or to the valleys of human suffering. He is by my side. He is ever present with me. He is close beside me. When I tread the dark streets of danger, and even when I flirt with death itself, he will not leave me. When the pain is severe, he is near me. He's near to comfort. When the burden is heavy, he is there to lean upon. When depression darkens my soul, he touches me with eternal joy. When I feel empty and alone, he fills the aching vacuum with his power. My security is in the promise to be near to me always, and in the knowledge that he will never let me go. I'm glad that Karen picked up some of those words in her prayer. Whether mountaintops of ecstasy or the valleys of human suffering, where are you today? Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd in John 10. He says this, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep in John 10, 14 and 15. I pray this for each of us, that you will not only seek the Good Shepherd, but the sacrificial Lamb, the one who took our sins, yours and mine. And where did he take them? To the cross. When he laid down his life as the perfect Lamb to conquer sin and death, our sin, our death. And he rose victorious so that we can have life to the fullest, both now and with him forever. During December, we have been looking at what we've called the longest night, December 21st being that longest night, and those things that get in the way of enjoying the Christmas season. We first looked at brokenness, Jeff Arkiel's, loneliness, Monty, unmet expectations, Danielle. And today we're going to hear the emotions associated with grief. If you take those four words, it spells B-L-U-E, blue. Many of you are very blue. Many people, it's not the holly jolly holidays. It was a very blue Christmas. So what we want to do is we want to hear from Jake. and Carla. And what I am going to do is I'm going to move down the mountain a little bit. So would you watch this on the screen?
For me, Christmas and the Christmas season is really a magical and glorious time of the year as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus changed the world, and he really made a difference in my life, especially when we lost our son, Kyle. In 2003, we got a telephone call telling us that our son had a large mass on his brain. You can just imagine what that was like to get that kind of news. But it was something. Jesus was with us during that whole time. He had surgery right away, and again, Jesus was with us and took us through that. Then for 5 years before his passing, he was fighting cancer. And even though it was difficult, he had so much faith, and that faith transferred to Carla and myself. And it meant so much to us to have hope and to be able to have hope in Jesus, that Jesus was there with us. Well, you can imagine what it was like on June 5th, 2008, when Kyle passed away, how devastating that was for us and how difficult it was. When we were at the cemetery and we put his remains to rest, we were leaving, and again, we were just devastated. And Kyle's wife, Kendra, came running up to us, and she said, "I have a letter for you, a letter that Kyle wrote some years ago." And so as we were driving away from the cemetery, we opened up that letter. And I'd like to share a few lines from you. In the letter, Kyle said to us, "If I had any regrets about life, it's really okay. I lived a full life and experienced the love of God. This is a time of celebration. I've gone to be with my other father, the one who washed away my sin and carried my shame. He has called my name, and I am eager to be with him." Can you imagine what that meant to Carla and I as we heard those words? To know because of Jesus, he was with him in that very moment. Well, that helped us not only then, but it has helped us throughout these years of knowing that Kyle is with Jesus and Jesus is with us every day of the week. And so when I look at the Christmas season, I see Jesus, and he really is my best friend.
Jake's story of grief and dealing with Kyle's death is different than mine, and this story really shows the difference in a way. Kyle loved Christmas. He delighted in helping put up the Christmas tree. Even when he was like 3 years old, he loved it, and he got great joy out of seeing this tree come into a thing of beauty with lights on. And he's my youngest son. He was very special. Almost, the boys said, I tried to make him into our little girl. And he was in many ways more sensitive, he loved beauty. So he was a delight in my life. 3 years after his death, we were facing our third Christmas. And like the two previous Christmases before, Jake carried up these big boxes of Christmas decorations. And Jake, as he said, loves Christmas. And he was just ready to go and decorate the whole house. And I saw him coming up the stairs again with these boxes. And like the previous 2 years before, my reaction, I just began to feel very tired and fatigued. And I felt impatience rise up and even anger. And I remember just saying, "Stop bringing those boxes." And this third year, I've really understood that there was something more going on than that was going on underneath. because I began to realize that these feelings of fatigue were part of what I'd experienced before with grief. And so I acknowledged the pain that was going on, and acknowledged that these feelings were coming from grief, that there was sadness and loss. And just in doing that, I allowed, I think, the release of that grief and loss, and made way for joy to return at Christmas and for memories to come. And so I encourage those of you who are facing grief this Christmas to see it as an opportunity, and to not try to fight it off or keep it from coming, but to allow those feelings to come so that the grief can turn to memories of joy. So I just ask that God bless each one and every one of you this Christmas.
I think it's important before we look at the future that we pray now. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you came. You came before us. And Lord, that you are with us as you promised. Emmanuel, God with us. So thank you. And even in our grief, you are still with us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're not quite ready to come off the mountain. So she's going to sit down there. You think because I pray I'm done? No. So we have our next point up on the screen for those of you that are taking notes. As a time to look ahead to the adventure. The adventure that God has in store for me. So we have looked back. We've looked back at the mountain. Like this mountaintop view. It's also a time to look forward with anticipation, where we're headed, not just for this year, given in 365 installments, but by God's grace to our heavenly home. Many of you at one time had one of those desk calendars that you flipped a page each day. If we handed you the whole year, said, here's the year, you panic. But if you do it in 365 one days at a time, it's a lot easier to handle. So let's look into the future. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, he paints a wonderful picture using a race analogy. That's in Philippians 3, talking about the righteousness of God, not something that we can do on our own, but it's a gift from God. As we mature in our faith to know Christ to the fullest this side of heaven. So I want to read to you Philippians 3, 12 through 14. I don't mean to say I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. But I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. What Paul is talking about here is that even though he knew God, he hadn't fully grasped the full meaning of Christ in his life. You see, this race called life, it's not a 50 or 100 yard dash. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And that marathon lasts a lifetime. The more Paul runs the race, he keeps on pressing on, the more he receives knowledge of Christ. Not about him, but heartfelt knowledge. He experiences his love, his grace, his forgiveness on this journey of righteousness, being made right and holy in God's eyes. That same thing is true for us. Paul knows that he had not yet attained perfection or complete knowledge of or maturity in Christ. He knew he wasn't perfect, but he still lives in the hope of his ultimate salvation. He knew that he was saved by grace through faith. We, like Paul, get off the path. We trip, we fall. But it's what we do with those stumbles. It's what we do with those self-imposed detours. That's what's important. I'm thinking of King David here, who, after his fall, was still called a man after God's own heart. And why was he called a man after God's own heart? It's his attitude. When God confronts him through the prophet Nathan, he makes no excuses. But he immediately accepts the blame. He doesn't blame his parents. He doesn't blame potty training. He doesn't blame anything for why he did what he did. But he asks for forgiveness. Psalm 51 records that wonderful heartfelt acknowledgement. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight. That's in verse 4. And then goes on to say, create in me a clean heart, O God. See, that's why Paul says, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. If we spend all of our time looking backwards, or to spend too much time looking forward. Backwards, if we're always looking in our rearview mirror, what are we going to do? We're going to run into the person in front of us. But if we spend so much time looking to the future and worrying and future tripping, that's not good either. Notice, we're not just to so much focus on the future as we are to focus on finishing the race and receiving the heavenly prize. By focusing on Christ and the heavenly prize, we aren't tempted to worry about the future and all the what ifs. When we focus on the promises of God, like that wonderful promise in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. It's where we place our hope for the future that makes all the difference in the world, both now and eternally. Now we're going to show something up on the screen, a little eye chart with these words, we walk by faith, not by sight. It's a postcard that someone gave me years ago. It's a great illustration. You see, when we walk by faith, not by sight, we have 20/20 vision as we go into 2020. Think about that. So, mountaintop experiences are great, and I'm not quite done, Roz. She's almost going to sing, but I got one more thing to do. You see, the mountaintop experiences are great, but it's not a place to live. Where do we live? We live in the valley, don't we? We live down here, day by day by day. My wife is so happy I made it and didn't fall. When she came in here at the first service, she said, "Be careful on those steps." She knows me. So, what we need to remember is that as we go forth, God is with us. There's great promises. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. He says that. That's a promise, isn't it? But there are some things that we need to do. We need to stop. We need to rest. There are things that we can do along the way. Rest stops are very important, aren't they? It's what we do as we walk along. We need to rest. We need to be in God's Word. We need to be with others. That's so important. We need to be with others. Two are better than one. So we need to be around other people. I have an accountability partner named Gary. We've been accountability partners for 10 years. And when I moved out here, when we moved 8.5 years ago, I thought, well, that ends the accountability. He said, but there's Skyping. Gary has been praying for me for today. He's been praying. We will Skype tonight. He will watch this sermon this afternoon. We need each other. We need to take the stop, be still. But also we need to realize that I need you and you need me. We are to carry one another's burdens. That's why we have the men's prayer. Donnie came at just the right time to our congregation. And that time in the men's prayer has been wonderful. We have the women of the Word. We have other women's Bible studies. We need each other. That old time, I started to say religion, old time meals, the dinners, that's a time to connect with people. So we need that, each one of us. We're not alone. Take time, be in His Word, pray, and let others walk along beside you and help you. So what we're going to do is, I want to have us read together the Serenity Prayer. I oversaw the Celebrate Recovery at our congregation for many years. And we would read this. Many people know the first part, but they don't know the whole thing. So you've got it in your bulletin, and it's going to appear up on the screen as we pray together. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, so I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy in the life to come. Amen. Well, I know for some of you, you had a little heartburn today because we opened up maybe some wounds. Maybe for you, something that was said or something that you heard or just somebody that hugged you today meant so much. Don't want you to leave this place without having someone to pray with you. Jesus with skin on. Some of our elders or deacons will be up front afterwards to pray or in the prayer room. But I want to move on off the mountain now. And I want to pray before Roz sings. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, for your grace, for your mercy in the journey that's been behind us. And now as we look to the future, as we walk in a sense on that glass highway that we can't tell what's happening until we stop and look around, and then we can see your answers, why things happen and why you were there for us. So we thank you, Lord Jesus. As we leave the past, the present, and the future in your very capable hands. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Now, John, now.
Thank you.
to Jesus is the scepter, is the throne. Alleluia is the triumph, is the victory alone. Hark the songs of peaceful Zion, wonder like a mighty flood. Jesus, out of every nation, has redeemed us by his blood.
Now it's time for our joy of giving, to give back to the Lord for all that he has done. We get just a little bit, but remember everything that we have is a gift from the Lord. A couple of things before I call the ushers to come up and that we pray is there is an envelope special offering. Some of you are in the habit of giving a year-end offering, and we encourage you to do that. And there are two ways you can do it. If you do online giving, it needs to be done before 9 p.m. on New Year's Eve, the 31st. Or if you write a check, just make sure you date it the 31st or before. And that you can give into the office the next time you're in the building. But that's the way it needs to be handled. Also, if you haven't given your commitment card for next year, we invite you and ask that you do that. And you can put it in the plate today, or you can take it to the office. So let's pray. Father, thank you for all the good gifts that you give us. Starting with your Son, with life, with hope, with new life. And we give back to you, Lord, just a little bit of what you have given us. It's not monetary, but it's as we give our time, our talents, and yes, our treasures. So we thank you. We dedicate this offering to you. We give it back to you in Jesus' name. Amen. want to read again from Psalm 102 these words. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you. And now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you God's peace. Happy New Year.